This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock.
Hey, episode 420, guys. Happy episode 420. I'm actually the same guy that called in a few weeks ago talking about the 75 pounds of weed. And I gotta say, the guy that called in last week about the friend comparing you to Radiolab, from his coughing, he sounded like he started celebrating episode 420 a little early. So, glory hole and blaze it, fuckers.
Hi, this is Yvonne from Washington, D.C. You all talked about wrongly convicted and one young man who could have did a short amount of time if he had just lied and said that he was a part of a crime. Never, ever, 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 never, ever, never do a plea bargain if you are innocent. When you do a plea bargain to get a shorter sentence, you're admitting guilt. They can find new evidence and have a bus full of people, or several bus full of people who show up 5 years later because they didn't know this had happened, or whatever could happen that could prove your innocence. But taking a plea bargain, you have admitted guilt, and nothing has to change. You can spend the rest of your life in prison. Even if other people who didn't take the plea bargain are released, because you took the plea bargain, you have to do your time because you have admitted guilt. They don't even have to give you the time of day to think about it. So I stress to everyone I know, do not take a plea bargain if you know you are innocent. Glorio, bye.
Ezel, this is Kevin from Virginia calling you just as I'm passing in front of Pat Robinson's Regent University, listening to episode 418. I'm very confused. The pastor claims that we have hurricane machines to try and suppress the vote. But aren't these the same motherfuckers who are telling us that global warming can't be human-caused because humans can't affect the environment? We can't affect the environment. We're causing hurricanes. We can't affect it. Glory hole, motherfuckers.
Advise that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. This is the half-baked episode. This is episode 420, y'all. Cognitive Dissonance. And before we decided to record this, I ate an entire bag of gummy bears. Haribo gummy bears, because I don't like the edibles very much. But I was trying to get in the spirit of the thing.
I just ate a stoner. It's like, fuck it. There's plenty of THC in that guy.
I just ate a lot of Ben and Jerry's, yeah. And I'm going to go home and just... I guess what I'm saying is I'm going to eat a lot.
Just...
because I'm fat.
Best Ben and Jerry's flavor.
I'm a Cherry Garcia. Like, I know it's old school, but it's a rock solid ice cream.
It's an excellent, excellent flavor. But I will say their oatmeal cookie.
That is awesome.
That is really good.
That is fucking money.
It is really good.
They've also got a coconut 7-layer bar.
Is that good? Yeah, I haven't had it.
Do you like coconut?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking rock solid.
For a long time, I would get everything but the.
And yeah,
it had
that's good.
All different kinds of stuff in there. Uh-huh. It was nice.
Americone Dream. I like
the Americone Dream. Isn't bad.
I like
it's not. It's certainly not something I like reach for. But it's if
very
it's like
sweet.
There, yeah, if it's there, I'll get it. But there's a couple though for a long time that I was like Cherry Garcia, Chubby Hubby. Those were two big ones that I would go.
Haley
for.
Keeps. Buying the Chubby Hubby and then just emptying out the container and leaving it places for me to find. I don't know what the message is there, but I don't appreciate it. You know what I like about Ben and Jerry's ice cream is you don't have to make the choice between eating candy or cookies or ice cream today. You can have it all. Yeah. It's the American dream. Yeah. That's why Americone Dream is so good.
It's the other thing too, is that it's really a dense ice cream. Like, yeah. Like there's a lot of ice creams out there that are whipped with a lot of air in them. And so you'll get that ice cream. You'll be like, eh, like, you know, you could, there's specifically a brand new ice cream out there called Halo, which whips a ton of air into there. And then they're like, oh, it's only 320 calories per pint. But it's just like, yeah, four spoonfuls of some of the other ice cream. Right. You know what I mean? But it's like the density of their ice cream.
Yes, because when you eat the whole pint of Ben and Jerry's, you feel like you've accomplished your day's goals.
Absolutely. You cry in your hands afterwards, for sure.
You do. I go get a second pint. Like, whatever. There's Ben and Jerry. I didn't eat enough. No, All right, this story comes from CBS News, and really this show is gonna have a bit of a theme called "What the Fuck Is Going On, America?" All right, so this is from CBS News, biased news source, liberal media. Migrant children at the border, the facts. So let's run down to some of these questions and this in kind of Q&A format that the article in.
Yeah.
Is there a new policy that's caused families to be separated at the border? A lot of people are posting shit online saying like, oh, this isn't new. This has been done.
Same thing over and over. Yeah.
No, this is a new, this is a new policy. It's important to distinguish between policies and laws, policies, and cases. A policy is a set of procedures. You know, a law is passed by the legislature, right? So an administration can enact a policy, which is a set of procedures about how we are going to handle a situation that might occur.
Right.
That's not the same thing as passing a law, right? So Jeff Sessions ordered the zero tolerance policy. And as part of that policy, they are criminally charging people who cross the border illegally.
Yeah. They used to. What used to happen is it was a civil thing. And so they would show up and then they would give them a civil, it would be a civil case. And so this was one of the major contentions they had. They called it catch and release. Basically, you would show up. They would say, okay, it's a civil matter. And then they would let them go and they would expect them to come back to the court date. And a lot of people did come back to the court
date. I read an article that said 99.6% that were through a certain program.
Yeah, through a certain program. That's a skewed number. But they were like, I saw other numbers that were saying it was 70, 60, 70% of all that come back. So a lot of these people do come back to go through that case and deal with the civil suit.
Can we talk for a minute about who these people are too? Yeah. So for the most part, because there's an important distinction here that like, for the most part, many of the people that are coming through are asylum seekers.
Yeah.
Now that's not the same thing as somebody who just wants to show up randomly, right? An asylum seeker would be somebody who is going to show up in the country and they are going to seek, they're as a refugee and they're seeking asylum from conditions in their country, which have made it uninhabitable or unsafe for them to remain there. Now, one of the things people say is like, oh, they should just wait and cross legally, except for the border crossings are all fucking shut down.
Yeah.
And you can't apply for asylum in advance. You cannot apply for asylum. You can't be like, oh, I'm going to apply for asylum from Honduras.
Yeah.
You apply for asylum once you get here. This is the way to seek asylum. Yeah.
And recently, I saw a New York Times article that Jeff Sessions had set up another policy where they narrowed the scope of asylum, where it used to...
Yeah, I just saw the same thing.
Yeah, where it used to take a broader approach, which said if you were a victim of domestic violence or gang violence, those were both things you could seek asylum for.
Right.
Well, they narrowed the focus of this in a way so like when people were... I was getting in an argument about it and people were saying, well, these aren't asylum seekers. I'm like, yeah, they aren't now, but fucking last week they were.
When they left home 1,000 miles away.
They fucking were. And now they're not. And it's because of this policy. It's because of the way in which they're interpreting the asylum. In my opinion, to clamp down on people that are fleeing from domestic violence or gang violence and to say, oh, that's not asylum. I'm sorry, you can't seek asylum for that. That's just monstrous. That is monstrous.
This whole thing is this whole thing is monstrous. And this is just we don't want brown immigrants.
That's all it is.
They should just pass a no brown immigrants law.
That's all it is.
Call that shit what it is, right? No brown immigrants from the South. We'll take some of them if they're from Southeast India.
or Southeast Asia, but like no brown Southern immigrants, Central America, South America, pass, hard pass, hard pass, you know,
yeah.
And Mexico. Yeah. So like, we don't want it.
Right.
We should just name the, we should just call that shit a day and say, these are the countries we don't accept people from.
Yeah.
And we're close to doing that, right? We've got a president who says, you know, there are some countries full of garbage people, yeah, well, or, you know, shithole countries. Or
he tried to set up some.
The anti-Muslim, yeah, some of those, immigration, yeah, some of those countries,
other,
right?
Immigrations.
It's this whole thing where we narrow down, like redefine who gets to seek asylum. Man, this is just an attempt to obfuscate the truth. Like, if we're going to be honest, if, yeah, we're going to be racist,
yeah,
if we're going to be xenophobic, if we're going to decide we should just say it, just, yeah, call it out. Yeah. And then everybody gets to know what it is that we're doing.
You know, it's interesting. They set this policy in motion to specifically start having, like Tom said, they had a zero tolerance policy that they enacted. That means that they're criminally charging these people. So when they come over with children, they're splitting these families up. And that's where the big contention was, right? These families are being split up and these people, these kids are being housed in these large centers. Some of them, they had a young age one, they called it the tender age center, that they had, like, you know, we're talking very, very young children in this tender age center that they had. And so, you know, they're splitting these people up. And this crossed the aisle. There was many people.
This crossed the bedroom. Like Melania went down and visited one of these detention centers.
It was, you know, there was many Republicans that were coming out against this, many Republican governors that were saying it was, you know, horrible. We shouldn't be doing this. This is not a practice that we need to be involved in. And what we heard from Trump was a different story than what we heard from his administration. So what we heard from Trump was, hey guys, my hands are tied. It's the Democrats' fault.
Right.
My hands are tied. It's the Democrats' fault. But Sessions and the rest of them, to them, this is a feature, not a bug.
Oh, it is.
They were trying to deter people. They were using this punitive fucking measure to deter people from coming here because he was basically sending the message that if you show up here, we will take your kids from you. Right. We will separate you from your family. And so he's trying to stop people from showing up here in a way that is so monstrous. But these are hard line immigration people. The people in his cabinet that have been handling this stuff,
yeah, man,
they're hard line immigration.
No fucks given.
Not at all. It's like, if they're not going to let you in, and they do not care. They do not care. And like I said, this is not something that they were shrinking away from. All his cabinet, until Trump came out and said, okay, I changed it, everybody was like, no, this is what we wanted to do.
Well, isn't that so crazy? It's like, so When you talk to Trump supporters, you look at the other side of the things, you know, you hear such a conflicting series of stories, and they can't all be true because they're in direct contradiction with each other. Either this is a monstrous law, but the president had no choice but to enforce it, except for somehow he did,
yeah,
because he didn't enforce it up until April.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's confusing. I'm confused as to what, did he just realize that this was something he had to do? And then he was just, oh fuck, did nobody told me I had to separate kids? So either this is an existing thing that goes back to Bush. I've heard that, right?
Yeah.
Goes back to Bush. And then you hear, oh, well, Obama did it. And those things are just blatantly not true. They're fact checked and not true. And then you hear like, oh, well, all he's doing is enforcing the law.
Yeah.
But he didn't enforce it for the first, you know, however many days, over a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now all of a sudden he's got to enforce the law. But then, you know, you also hear the like, well, you know, they should have thought of this before they came over. This is a good law. This is how we close our borders.
Yeah.
And then I now have to reconcile all of that with Trump just recently signing an executive order saying that it's not going to happen. Although I also read that the executive order will do nothing to actually stop the family separation.
Yeah. And so, one of the things too, is like, I heard today that this might've been their plan all along so that they can detain the entire family so that they can keep the entire family from getting in at all. So before, what would happen is if you're detained, if you're criminally detained, the children would somehow be able to go to family. And I think with the changing of this law and keeping the family together, there's no need for them to come into the country.
Yeah, I read the same thing.
There's a possibility that they're saying that, but I do not believe the 4D chess thing. Like, I don't believe that. Like, I never believe that this president has thought anything further than a nanosecond before he does or says anything. I never think this president has any forethought. So, but why would you want to roll back for a second about Obama? Because Obama did deport a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It's not that Obama didn't deport people. And it's not that Obama didn't tear families apart too, because he would deport people and some of their family would still be left here.
Right.
You know, people that were born here would sometimes stay and he would deport other parts of their family. So it's not like that hasn't been happening. You know, people have been tearing families apart through immigration, deportations in this country for a long time.
Since the beginning of this country.
For a long time.
Yeah.
So
I don't think we've ever not done it.
Certainly, you know, I know it's been happening at least through Bush and Obama, because that's when I've been politically aware. So I know for sure that it's been happening. And Obama deported more people than Bush. So, you know what I mean? Like, so there's a lot of people that get deported. So I don't want to say like, you know, because I don't want to get that message. It's like, well, Obama deported people. I know he did.
Oh, yeah.
But he didn't. What he didn't do is when someone was seeking asylum or coming across the border, he didn't split that family up and charge them criminally. That's something he didn't do. That's something that was not in place before.
It wasn't even in place for the first, year of the Trump presidency. So, right. Like, that's the part that, like, I just want, like, nobody seems to be able to, like, explain that part to me. Is like, was... If this was a law he had no choice but to enforce, and we know that that's not true. Yeah. The facts don't bear that out. Did it just come to his fucking attention in April?
Yeah.
That's fucking baffling to me. And it's just, the idea, like, there's this Flores case, which is is being cited frequently as being like, oh, well, it's because of this Flores case. And basically, says like, you can't detain the children. The children are not detainable is the argument that the other side is making. The Flores case doesn't actually say that. The Flores case outlines specifically what the rules are when unaccompanied minor children are caught up in an immigration snafu.
Yeah.
So it's like how, who do they go to? What's the order of operations? We've detained the parent for whatever reason. What's the order of operations to make sure the kids, something happens to them, right? We can't just throw them away or like be like, I don't know what happened. You got to do something to them. What we don't have to do is pull these families apart. We know we don't have to because we haven't done it until fucking April.
Until recently.
Right.
But the problem is that they're going to have to, they're probably not going to roll back the criminal thing. So they are going to not tear the families apart, but then everybody will then be detained.
Yeah.
And so then, what's going to have to happen is you're going to create a bunch of small detention centers, family detention centers along the border that you'll have to house these people at.
Which that seems to me, and I'm the furthest thing from a legal expert, but that seems to me to be that's going to have its own set of, challenges and issues, right?
Absolutely.
Legal challenges and issues that I don't know how we're going to navigate that.
Yeah.
And I look at all this and I'm like, what are we spending on this?
Yeah. And why are we doing it?
Right.
And we there's a lot of things that when the Trump administration, they want to get a pat on the back for this now, right? Like, so they did this thing. It's like our government is like a fucking dog that ate too much kibble, puked it on the rug, and then licked it up and wants a pat on the head.
Right. I cleaned the rug.
Look at me. Hey guys, I cleaned it up.
Right.
It's like, you made the mess, stupid. Go outside. I just want to tell this entire administration to go lay down. Just go lay down. Go lay down and don't bother me.
Well, I want to get shock collars for all the images. Every time Trump says very.
You know that one where the pincher collar? You give him the pincher?
Give him a pop.
He probably does that anyway. But anyway.
Melania's got the other pincher end. Collar. He's got a ball gag in his fucking mouth.
But fucking the entire administration has been, they're gaslighting the whole nation.
Right.
We were talking about it earlier, by creating a problem and then fixing that problem that they created and then blaming someone else for it. That's the definition of what gaslighting is.
It's so funny. It's like, well, I got to blame the Democrats. There is what he said. The Democrats won't fix this problem. It's like, you control the House and the Senate.
Don't know what the
I don't.
Are the Democrats holding you at gunpoint?
I don't understand that.
What do you have to do?
Right. That argument where it's like, well, we can't do anything because of the Democrats. Yeah. Like, you're fucking not in charge.
Yeah.
Did you miss the memo where you won all the things for a couple of years?
Yeah.
Like Trump when Obama had the House and the Senate.
Yeah.
Trump fucking tweeted like a crazy person. Like, you should be able to do whatever you want, but you don't have control of your party. You're a weak leader. Is that not literally the same fucking thing?
Yeah.
Does that not mean the same thing? Are you then not tacitly acknowledging the weakness of your own leadership?
Yeah.
But that's too sensible.
Yeah.
Like, we're just in this like bizarro universe where if you're a supporter of this policy, Well, Trump just rolled it back.
Yeah.
So are you pissed now at Trump or do you support the rollback too?
Yeah, I don't know.
What are your fucking mental gymnastics that you have to jump through?
How do you jump through those hoops?
Right.
I want to take a step away from the politics side of it and talk about the human side of it for a second.
This will get depressing.
Tom, you had talked about something like this on Facebook and I want to bring it up. Like, when is it moral to break the law? When is it moral to step over an imaginary boundary in the sand because you're in danger? When is that moral? And what a lot of these people have to say on the opposition is that this is the rule of law. You know, we got to have laws and there's consequences to breaking the laws. What doesn't make any sense to me is that there's all these people that see this group of people coming into our country. They're taking jobs that nobody cares about. Nobody gives a shit about. Nobody wants.
Yep.
They're going to get underpaid. They're not going to be taken care of by taxes, even though everybody thinks somehow they're going to be able to dip into this magic money pool that nobody has access to anyway.
Right. I know.
You know, and so, you know, they don't have any benefits that normal citizens enjoy. They work underpaid, shitty jobs, and yet we somehow want to keep them out, and then we want to punish them, and we're upset. We're just upset, and we think anything can happen to these people because they broke the rules. And you're like, look, put yourself in that situation. There's a giant drought in the United States, huge drought. There's no food, fucking cans of beans. That's it. There's nothing left. You got to go north. You would move north. You would just take your kids north. And
you didn't remove north, you would be doing the wrong thing.
Yeah. And then in the moment you walk over that border, you would say, no, you've got to take me in. I don't have any food where I come from. I can't support myself where I come from. I can't live where I come from. It's dangerous. There's fucking roving bands of people looking for that one can of beans. I got to leave.
Right.
And then Canada, what happens with Canada then? Are they moral for putting us in jail if we're starving? You know, like just put yourself in that position for 10 seconds. And nobody ever wants to do that because they had the luck of their birth to be born here.
Yeah. And that's like, it makes me crazy because it's like, that's all any of this is, right? That's all any of this fucking hyper-nationalistic, patriotic, rah-rah, flag-waving bullshit is. You got lucky.
Yep.
Most of the world is born into poverty. That's most.
Yeah, most.
Almost all the people are born into grinding poverty. That we were not born into grinding poverty is not because we are good or we deserve it in any more of the way that like somebody who was born into poverty deserves their poverty, right? And like, I don't want to live in poverty. So why would I ever assume that somebody else wants to live a way I don't want to live? If it's acceptable for me, it is acceptable for somebody else. And if it is unacceptable for me, then it is unacceptable for somebody else. And if I were going to behave in some way in order to feed my family, and I got to tell you, like, if my family needs to be fed, there's no world where you don't find fucking food for them. Anything less is an immoral action.
Yeah.
I can't come home empty-handed and look my family in the eye and be like, well, somebody wrote on a piece of paper that there's an imaginary border, and if I walk over that line, then paperwork.
Yeah,
anyway, enjoy eating the gnawing hunger of your own cell death.
Yeah.
Like,
basically,
what the fuck?
Basically, America is failing the easiest moral question you could possibly ask. It's the most simple moral dilemma that's ever been asked of anyone. You know, would you steal the bread to feed your family?
And of course, it's the
simplest moral dilemma. The people that are on the other side that are like, you know, they got to be punished. They got to be punished. That is our own system. Our own fucked up, shitty, vengeance-based system That's what that is. That's our garbage prison jail system that we have in this country that's a laughingstock of the fucking industrialized world.
Can we pause there? Because I think that there's something embedded in many people's belief system called, I deserve the life I have. They believe in karma. I think that not a formalized karma, but I think a tremendous number of people genuinely believe that the good fortune that they have is a result of their actions, their choices, who they are as people, the goodness inherent in them.
Sure.
Like, just fucking step back from that shit for a minute and think about sort of the foundational underlying things that you didn't control about where you are and how fucking important those things are. You know, like, none of us deserve most of the misfortunes or fortunes that we receive. And I think we're distressingly quick to decide that it is that we don't deserve the misfortune. And we are just as distressingly quick to decide that we do deserve the good fortune. I deserve that I worked hard.
Yeah.
I deserve that I went to school, I got good grades, I worked hard. I deserve to have this job. Really? Because, you know, what about that kid born in Honduras? Do you really think you started off on the same footing?
Yeah.
Are we really saying that all things were equal? And that's how I got this job. Fuck that shit. Stop lying about it. Be grateful for it. Recognize the inherent inequality that is part of just the system of fucking sheer unadulterated luck. That is the reason that, like, we can listen to a fucking podcast on $1,000 cell phone and walk around, you know? Like, none of that has anything to do with you. Like, it's the fucking weather. We have so little control over most of the most important factors in it. But, like, we have this, like, underlying sense that, like, the word deserve and fair, like, those words are meaningful. They're shit words for stupid people. I can't. This shit makes me crazy.
I have to say, too, that there's a... I don't know if it's a Trump supporter thing, but I feel like that there might be a very strong vein of I got mine, fuck you.
Yeah.
And whether or not they're, you know, they think it's equal or not, they don't care.
Right.
And so, you know, this blatant removal of human empathy to see a group of people coming across the border looking for work that you're never going to do, that no American born citizen would deign to do.
Yeah.
And to say, you can't even do that. We don't even want you to do that. We don't want you here. We don't show up here. Go away. We're going to imprison you. We're going to punitively separate you from the rest of your family. Like, that's monstrous. Like, yes. That's just straight up monstrous.
So let's talk about, you want to go back to the rest of these,
yeah, sure,
these items?
I want to talk about this one too. It talks about MS-13. And it said, the custom and border statistics for fiscal year of 2018 show roughly 0.1% of people apprehended at the border, 275 out of 256,000, almost 257,000 people have been linked to MS-13 by authorities. Between 2011 and 2017, about 0.02% of children detained, 56 out of roughly 250,000 were connected to the gang. And so... those are people they caught.
Right.
This is not just like these people leaked into the country. Like they caught them. So there's safeguards already there to make sure that this diminutive amount of people,
yeah,
that show up are...
MS-13 is, yeah, not a concern. But it's an overblown boogeyman.
But it is something that they have talked about enough,
right,
to scare enough people to now think that it's one of the major reasons why we have this position at the border.
It's like, it's so crazy, Cecil. It's like it's such a fucking straw man. It's, yeah, like you couldn't create a more definitional, yeah, fucking version of, yeah, his political straw man.
It's like one of those images that they drew of the Jew in Nazi Germany with the giant nose. And like, they have like, they're hoarding their money and they're like fucking dropping poison in wells and shit. Yes. You know what I mean? Like we are demonizing, right, a group of people. And we're not just, and that's the thing is, you know, he is talking about MS-13, but he's also saying all of those people are possible MS-13.
It's the same thing with the Muslim ban, right? Yeah. Except for even more ridiculous. Yeah. It says orders of magnitude, yeah, even more ridiculous than that. And if you want to know what those orders of magnitude are, well, it's 0.02%,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for
so
children,
that leaves 99.98%, yeah, of these, yeah, fucking people are fucking not MS-13.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to talk too about the why they're coming. And this was, yeah, another reason why people, a lot of people were saying, you know, I was getting into arguments with people who were saying, well, these are just people who are just showing up. We need to just turn them away. They're just random people. No. Custom and Border Protection statistics show an influx of migrants from Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, countries with which the United Nations Children's Fund reports as having experienced sustained gang violence and political instability.
Okay, to be fair, though, the United Nations is a liberal think tank.
That's true. We should just leave the United Nations.
No, we should leave, yeah, just the Human Rights Council.
Let's just get rid of the Human Rights Council.
We need the wall. The Border Patrol, ICE, they all want the wall.
So this story is from commondreams.org, and I love it. And it makes me love Elizabeth Warren so much more than I did before. I I can't get enough of this woman.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Warren says, let's be clear. Trump is holding thousands of kids hostage to try and get Congress to pay for his stupid wall. I want to read her exact tweet here. At Real Donald Trump could pick up the phone and stop the separation of families seeking refuge in the U.S. Instead, he continues to hold thousands of kids hostage to try and get Congress to pay for his stupid wall. This is his policy and he can stop it. Hashtag families belong together.
It turns out Elizabeth Warren was right.
Yeah, right. So either she's right or his executive order didn't mean anything, right?
Yeah, it's one of the
other. So like, again, if you're supporting this administration, if you're supporting Trump, either he signed a meaningless executive order or Elizabeth Warren was right and he could stop this all along and chose not to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they've been doing this all throughout the entire presidency. They create a crisis, they blame the Democrats, and then they stop the crisis.
Right.
They did it with, they're doing it with DACA, right? They create a crisis around DACA by stopping people that can apply. They say, you know, we're going to cut the program out. And then they blame the Democrats.
Right.
And
you're for not taking care of the DACA kids.
But, like, but you did it. Like,
they
that
were
was
fine
you.
A minute ago.
That was you who did all that work.
Yeah.
Like, you're the one who did this. Well, I just want legislation on it. Okay, that's cool. We'll keep it in place until we get legislation on it. How's that? Oh, no, can't do that.
That's not how,
can't do that.
How leverage works.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And it's a threat. Yeah. It's all these threats that they do. And this is the exact same thing. Like I have a feeling, like I said earlier, that policy was a feature. They liked that policy. They wanted to do that policy.
They had to go looking for that policy. They didn't know it existed because they didn't enact it until April 19th.
Right. So they went out of their way to make sure that policy worked.
Right.
And it worked exactly how they wanted it.
Yeah.
It caused a giant uproar. They stopped it. They look like they're, you know, they're the saviors, even though
who do they look like heroes to? Who was that guy?
I don't know.
And I mean, literally.
I think a lot of Trump supporters do see that as... I think if you were to talk to them,
Before he signed the executive order, those same people were defending the policy itself. Then he signs an order saying, we got rid of that monstrous policy.
Are you saying,
was the policy monstrous or was it not monstrous?
Are you saying that people that support Trump, they can feel cognitive dissonance?
Are you saying that? No, they
can't.
Because
they can't. Because there's not just one time that this has happened.
I know, but like, this is just like so fucking mirror shit.
Yeah. It's very obvious, right?
Like, yeah. Holy fuck.
Yeah. It really feels like you're just being held down and your brother's like, stop hitting yourself.
Yes.
Stop hitting yourself.
Yeah.
And it's just so frustrating. It's just like, but I'm not, you're making me hit myself.
And then like he stops. He's like, I am a hero. Exactly. I saved you from getting beat up. Like, what the fuck?
Thank me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true in some cases, but they aren't all valedictorians. They weren't all brought in by their parents. For everyone who's a valedictorian, there's another 100 out there that they weigh 130 pounds and they've got calves the size of cantaloupes because they're hauling 75 pounds of marijuana across the desert.
All right. And this is from the New York Times. If you want to get a sense, you got to play this clip. If you want to get a sense for the callousness. So again, like there's a couple of narratives that are in competition. And one of the narratives is like the Trump and his people, they hate this policy, but oh no, our hands are tied. It's the former administration. On the other side of that is, fuck you. This policy is in place to actually fuck you.
Yeah.
If you want to hear what Corin Lewandowski thinks about this, here's a clip.
So there's going to be a guy talking and then someone else is going to sort of interrupt. The person who's interrupting is who we're talking about.
I mean, look, I read today about a 10-year-old girl with Down syndrome who was taken from her mother and put in a cage.
What?
I read about a to a 10-year-old with Down syndrome
what
being
I
taken
said
from
is
her
you
mother?
Can pick anything
How
you
dare
want,
you?
But the bottom line
How
is very
dare
clear.
You?
When you cross
How absolutely
the border
dare you,
illegally,
sir?
You
How
have
dare
given
you?
Up the-
you don't call that guy sir.
Yeah.
Don't call him sir. This is, I think, emblematic of the entire strategy, and it's be a bully.
Yeah.
It's like, be a bully. And I have a feeling like what makes me crazy is I was always raised to hate the bully. I was always raised to dislike the bully and think the bully's wrong and stop people from bullying. That's just how I was raised. Like my dad, like very much when I was young, made sure that I would never bully anybody and that I would make sure that I would help other people. It was very, very important to him.
Right.
So when I see this and I see the way in which they treat people and the way in which, I mean, and this is a perfect example of somebody being like, oh, who cares? Whatever. Wah, wah. Like somebody saying that about a person who's, you know, not only being detained, but also, you know, has Down syndrome.
Right.
You know, you have somebody
who has a limited capacity to understand the situation.
You got this guy who's saying whatever, want. Like, this is the most bullying thing that you can do.
He says, if you listen to what he said, he says he basically is like, they deserve it. If you cross the border illegally.
Yeah.
So he's saying, like, if you engage in this action, then it's okay what happens to a mentally handicapped 10-year-old person. Like, that's not a thing.
Yeah.
But again, like, I feel like I'm living in a fucking bizarro universe. Like, I feel like a fucking crazy person because, like, that thing that you just described, man, where it's like, I grew up the same way. It's like the bully is always the bad guy, right? You don't want to be that guy. Stand up for the little guy, all that kind of thing. But we are now in a place where callousness is cool.
Yeah.
Where, like, the more, like, crazy, outrageously, emotionally detached you are, the more you don't give a shit about human suffering. Like, there's a fucking social cachet to that on the right where it's like, yeah, I don't fucking care. I'll never care. I fucking shoot a baby in the fucking toe just to watch it scream. I don't give a fuck. Like, there's a whole social cachet to that. Like, whatever. It's just your feelings. It's just somebody else's baby. It's just everybody deserves everything that's coming to them. And if you can, like, the more hard-hearted you can be, it's like the more that side kind of reveres you for this sort of, like, and I wonder if is it all part of that same kind of shitlord thing? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, yeah, whatever. Like, what, are you going to get emotional about it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what happened the other night? Rachel Maddow was reading, and that thing that came across that talked about tender age facilities came across her desk. Yeah. And she's like, this is breaking. And at some point she stopped and she's like, you got to cut away. Can you cut away, please? And she's like waving her hand at her face. She's going to start crying.
Yeah.
It's just too much at a certain point. But there's people out there that are like, well, everything she's ever said is invalid. She got emotional.
Right.
You know, I can't believe anything she said because she once shed a tear on air.
But cruelty is an emotion.
Yeah.
Hatred, cruelty, meanness, avarice. Those things are emotionally led. They're not logical.
Yeah, not logical.
Right. There's no, like, you can't, there's this bullshit idea that, like, this sort of, like, tender emotions are the ones
that
which
are the negative ones. They're the negative ones.
Whereas, like, hard, mean-spirited things are somehow thought of as less emotional. Like, oh, well, you know, you got to make hard decisions. And, like, yeah, being a dick is still an emotional decision. Anger is still an emotion, right? Yeah. But it's like anger over the mistreatment of others, that's bad. Anger at other people taking something that you think is yours or you think you deserve, that's good. It's still anger. Mm-hmm. This whole idea that, like, emotionality is a negative is just so selectively used.
It's selective garbage. Emotions. They're not choosing all emotions. Nobody,
they're not even choosing emotions in the same circumstances.
There's not a Vulcan up there who's just like, I am logic. All I do is do logics.
But fucking womp womp.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, man, this guy's just a bully. Like, he's just a bully, but that's a celebrated thing.
Right.
And it's weird.
It is.
It's fucking super weird.
Right. And look at, like, what some of the people, like, initially, like, some of the criticism of Trump was back in the heady early days when he was just terrible and not absolutely awful. You know, when he would, like, do, like, weird, crazy shit, like, you know, the weird handshake things he was doing and that weird, like, push past somebody to stand in front of him.
Slap that guy and pull him back.
Right. Yeah. People were like, yeah, good for him. We need a man with some power. Like, We're at a place where there's a certain amount of, like,
where we celebrate
bully reverence.
We celebrate toxic masculinity.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, we celebrate.
Like, instead of, like, saying, like, that is toxic.
It's garbage.
Like,
it's a, no real man acts like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you're not, and this is not a no true Scotsman. Okay. This is not a no true Scotsman. A person who is confident enough to be just a human in the world never feels like they need to act like that.
It's actually crazy. Like, that is a crazy unmasculine way to behave.
Unbelievably
it's
unmasculine.
It's so emasculating to watch that. I know you and I have a
counter. I cringe. I'm embarrassed by that person. I'm like, oh, you're a little guy.
Yeah.
You're like a little man.
Right.
You know, you're like a wee person.
Like, it's cold in here.
Yeah.
Little.
Yeah. And what you're doing is trying to fluff up. You're trying to prune those one, two, or three limp-ass peacock feathers you have to make show everybody what a big person you are. But you're really just super weak.
Right.
And you just all you are doing is screaming into a megaphone how weak you are. And you see people that are really powerful that are, they never have to do that. Confident in their own power. And you see other people and you're just like, no, you're just a weak little dude.
Right.
And I feel like we're celebrating this really awful part of, you know, the worst advice you could give a man.
Right.
The worst advice you could give.
The beta male's guide to being alpha is now.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Is it like that book is now like the fucking number one bestseller.
Yeah. It's by Jordan Peterson.
Yeah. Yeah. It's somehow
the frog.
Hi-ho, Jordan Peterson here.
Have you ever heard that guy talk? He sounds just like, like,
hey, Fozzie, come on in here. I have 12 things I want to tell you. 12 things about hating trans people.
12 things Zay don't want you to know.
Zay don't want you to know about it, Fozzie.
That's demonic, everybody. It is absolutely demonic.
This is just fucking like, okay, so we were kind of serious there for a minute.
Yeah.
Let's get weird. This is from the Daily Banter. Trump apologist accuses caged immigrant children of engaging in sexual activity.
It's even worse than that. Like, it's so much worse than all of this. It's just crazy. So I'm just going to play the clip. It's just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Jim Acosta from CNN.
This guy's
dead.
Okay. That guy looks like, he looks like he's computer generated. he looks like Max Headroom's racist uncle.
He looks like a slightly young Emperor Palpatine from
the
bag.
Terrifying. You guys have to see this guy. He's like, like he's like super.
Dude, who was the fucking guy in Mystery Science Theater with this black circles around his eyes?
Oh, Observer.
He kind of looks like Observer.
You know, what he looks like is like a superhero, like jaundice man. His liver's out fighting crime and he's at home dying. He's like, I don't have one. It's out.
My name is Billy Rubin.
Yeah.
It's not.
Basically, sarcastically was chiding Sarah Sanders and saying, well, you show me in the Bible where, you know, you're supposed to separate a family and break.
Let's stop there and say, who fucking cares about the Bible? They use the Bible as a way to like show, well, in the Bible, it says we're supposed to have, like, we don't follow the fucking Bible. We don't fucking use the Bible as a way to fucking think about things.
That's that same passage. It's like the worst passage for them to choose to use. That same passage in the Bible, has been used to promote slavery and to defend the practice of slavery. The passage is a garbage passage called "The government gets to do what it wants."
Does what it wants. Yeah.
God says that's cool.
Yeah.
That's the fucking interpretation everybody has of it. So whenever the government wants to just do what they want, like fucking Cartman on a fucking Maury show, you know, they're haul that fucking old canard out.
Yeah, that happens every time.
Right.
A family up for the sake of political purposes. And I'm going to tell Jim Acosta to his face right now.
You're not there. It's fucking not there, man. Do you know how the fucking internet works?
Do you know how to your face works? I'm going to tell you.
This guy, you would think he would know. That's probably how he talks to everybody.
I'm going to tell you to your face if you watch this when I later record it. What?
Oh, God.
The fuck?
Fucking idiot.
Show me in the Bible where you're supposed to be breaking the law in a country because you're not supposed to be breaking the law in a country. You're supposed to be respecting the laws of the country that you live in. And if these people come into these countries and they know good and well, Butch and Lee, they're breaking the country, then I'm sorry.
They're breaking the country?
Look, like we got to pay for them, Tom. They're just dipping into the public fund.
We're paying for them every time we buy red peppers for 29 cents a pound. We're paying for them every time we go to buy a package of meat that nobody that fucking has a citizenship paper is packed.
We pay for them.
Right. Yeah. We pay for them every time you buy milk because that fucking dairy farm is run almost exclusively from immigrant labor.
Eggs too.
So we pay for them in almost every new home that's been constructed.
It's funny
in the last 25 years.
We buy eggs, and we're so worried about how the chickens are taken care of.
Right?
We don't give a fuck about the dude who got the eggs. It's like, fuck that guy. He could be an illegal immigrant hopped up on fucking crystal meth on his seventh shift. I don't give a fuck. How's the chicken?
Did the chicken have a name? Was the chicken free range? Just like,
look,
this was harvested by a man who lives in a cage made out of smaller cages.
He lives in a trailer with 756 other people, right, and they're all stacked on top of each other.
The guy is like only allowed to pee batteries once a day from 11:30 to 11:33.
Yeah,
that's
and
it.
And he has to do it in a bottle in front of the chickens. Right.
Yeah. And that's all he gets to drink tomorrow.
Yeah. It's hilarious. You're just like, oh, I got to look on the wrapper. Is this, was the chicken patted a couple times? Did they feed it the proper feed?
It's like, oh, no antibiotics. Just like the guys who raise the chickens when they get sick. No antibiotics.
At a certain point, the guy just drops dead and they just feed him the chickens. It's like, nah, man, that's protein, bro.
It's not America's fault. It's their fault. And they need to get with that program. That's what Jeff Sessions was basically saying. He was saying, look, I've got sympathy for the family, but they
would say, look, I got mine.
Yeah. Look, Jeff Sessions was not saying he has sympathy for the families. Jeff Sessions was saying, no, that's cool. That's kind of what we had in mind in the first place, guys.
Right. That was literally the intention of this policy was to create this kind of outrage.
Jeff Sessions would have had a kite that said, fuck you on it and floated on the fucking border.
They must understand when you break the law, there are consequences. And if you know you're here illegally, guess what? Your family is at risk of being broken up.
No, like even if we concede the point, which is barely the point, that like that asylum seekers are breaking the law by entering the only way that you can try to get asylum. Yeah. But even if you were to concede that point, like, are we saying like that is a rational punishment?
Yeah.
And are we also saying like children should receive that punishment? People who didn't have any choice, did not act of their own volition. Yeah.
Have you seen the assholes who kick the water over in the...
Oh my God, those fucking border agents that find the water
and
that's left there.
They kick it over.
And they kick that water over. Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, I just hope somebody hurts more. I hope somebody fucking dies of thirst. That's got to be a good way to go. What the fuck is wrong with people?
Yeah. I don't understand that.
Kick those motherfuckers' teeth in.
It makes me crazy when I see it because I just think to myself, I'm like, you know, you're kicking that water because... you're on this side.
Yeah. Because you got lucky.
Tell you what, you know, those people, you know, what's the harm that they have that they're not thirsty when they show up? What's the harm in that?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like these people are like, yeah, I'm going to kick this water over.
You've got to be hoping that those people die.
That's what you're dead. There's no other reason to kick that water over. Right.
You kick that water over in an attempt to let people suffer and die.
Suffer and die.
There's no other possible interpretation of that.
Because that's what happens in a law-abiding society. If you want to get legal, get in line, become a citizen. You don't have to worry about your family being broken up.
I love it when they talk about a law-abiding society. And you're just like, how many indictments on the president's cabinet?
I know, right?
And then they're all just like, fake news when you talk about that. You know, it's like it's law-abiding when they're brown. You know what I mean? It's a law-abiding society when we're making sure that the brown people don't have it good.
Yeah, unless you play lacrosse at Duke.
Yeah.
Right? It's a law-abiding society.
Yeah, and it's really, really scary. Some of the individuals that are sneaking across the border, and I was talking to a Border Patrol, top person, and he just said, leave.
Oh, a Border Patrol top person.
Not a Border Patrol top person, a Border Patrol-like top person.
I love when they can't even remember, like, what they're making up. Mm-hmm. I was talking to, I don't remember what they're called.
Yeah.
I don't remember what their positions of authority were. She's basically saying like, so authority figure says.
Yeah. Argument from authority says everyone.
I know.
Yeah.
You cannot believe rape after rape after rape. Children.
We are getting exhausted raping all these children.
Rape of what? Like, what are we talking about? Who's raping who? The border official is raping some? What are you talking about?
I think that's what she's saying is that it is getting so tiresome to rape all these kids. I can only the refractory period. My dick is chafing.
It's a lot of work.
I am trying to take advantage of as many as I can, but I can't keep up with the volume.
From below 10 years old, engaging in sexual activity, all kinds of sin and disgrace and darkness, the pit of the pits.
Darkness, huh? Huh.
That's Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Weird, interesting way to call it. Darkness, huh?
Uh-huh.
Huh. Weird. That's
so strange.
Weird.
Yeah. Those brown ones are sure dark, huh?
Sure dark.
Yeah. 10-year-olds engaging in sexual activity. If a 10-year-old is engaging in sexual activity, it's almost certainly non-consensual.
It is non-consensual.
Well, unless they're another 10-year-old, right?
I guess,
you know, I think
even still,
I think that's what they're trying to suggest. Is that
is it really?
I don't know what they're saying. I don't know if they're suggesting
yeah, I don't
like,
know what they're talking
like,
about.
10-year-olds in cages, and 10-year-olds are just like, I don't know, want to fuck like you do when you're in fourth grade. I don't know. It doesn't even work that good yet. It doesn't happens with it. It's just
it's a weird bang. Dangle.
It's a tingle dangle. Yeah. That's all it is. A tang.
It's a tingle tangle.
And so we're not getting the top of the line echelon people coming over this border. We're getting
They're shitty people too.
Yeah, they're
like,
bad. They're bad.
Blame
people.
The shitty people. Yeah. Are we just gonna scratch off the poor, tired, huddled masses thing?
I think we already have.
Are we just? But I mean, like, see, are we just gonna be like, buff that out?
Yeah, sorry,
buff
guys.
That out of there.
That was like way back.
That
like,
was if they had the right ago. Paperwork yeah. and were from. Europe,
yeah,
then
yeah, then
yes.
we're good.
Except Irish, because yeah. they're like black Europeans. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Criminals. I mean, total criminals. The top of the line echelon people coming over this border. We're getting criminals. I mean, total criminals that are so debased, and their minds are just gone in the unclean. They're murderers. They're treacherous. They're God haters.
257 people out of 257,000 people.
We're MS-13.
We're MS-13.
And that's assuming that all the MS-13 are as awful as she says, right? So that's even granting the idea.
And these aren't necessarily, they're just connected.
Right.
They're not necessarily. Right.
But I mean, like, let's even give her all of that.
Yeah.
Let's give her all of that. It's still there's nothing. She's backing this up with nothing, right? She's just saying like they're bad people.
They're
so
bad
they deserve
people,
what's coming
debased.
To them.
Yeah, exactly. It's a way to rationalize the damage that we're doing to those people.
We deserve what we got. You deserve what you got. Incidentally, we get more.
Incidentally, I got it pretty good.
Right.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Right Wing Watch. This is Paul Begley asking the questions few of us are brave enough to ask, Cecil. Did the Illuminati assassins target Larry Kudlow with a heart attack gun?
I mean, how does that say? That sentence is mad-libbed.
Can I read that again?
That sentence is mad-libbed. There's somebody who's like, give me a weapon.
Right.
You know?
Heart attack gun.
Give me an adjective weapon.
Right. You know? Yeah. Give me a disease.
Yeah, like a disease.
Scoliosis. Yeah. Give me a weapon. Cannon.
It's a scoliosis.
Scimitar. It's all curved.
It is. It's curved in the back. It's perfect.
I know.
It's perfect.
I know.
Oh, God. Here we go. God, heart attack.
Give me a kidney stone frisbee. Wait,
heart
no.
But I want to know, are there Illuminati assassins?
Nope.
I want to know, too. I want to know, too. Hold on. There aren't. Okay, we're good.
How do you think he would come to this knowledge?
Oof, we're safe, Tom.
There's I'm going to guess just by guessing at it.
And would they kill people to continue their agenda? And does...
Well, I don't... Wait, if they're the Illuminati, aren't they just in control of everything?
I never understand that, because it's always like, yeah, well, you're the Illuminati. Like, you basically run everything. Yeah, but we need assassins to make sure that we do. And you're like, well, don't you have all the, like, don't you own all the stuff?
Like, aren't all your people in power? Who are we killing? Who are we assassinating? People who somehow beat the Illuminati in the dog catcher race? You're the fucking Illuminati. Either you're powerful or you're not.
Supposedly, he's saying, Begley proceeded to link Kudlow's heart attack to the recent deaths of designer Kate Spade and travel writer Anthony Bourdain, whom he believes may have been killed as high-profile sacrifices of the Illuminati. So that's the link to this. They're talking about, like, Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade as sacrifice. That's who the Illuminati...
Why do the Illuminati have to make sacrifices?
And why not... And here's the thing. Why not just do somebody nobody will ever miss? You know what I mean? Like you're gonna miss Kate Spade. You're gonna miss Anthony Bourdain.
Did anyone notice?
They're just like, if it's Ted, the guy who runs the drill press down the road, right. You're like, hey, where's Ted? I haven't seen him in work recently. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like nobody's going to miss that. It's not going to be national news that Ted, the drill press operator, isn't around anymore.
Plus, if you've got a heart attack
gun. I'm nothing against drill press. I'm sure you guys do great work.
We're going to get emails from the fucking Drill Press Association of America.
You guys drill me a glory hole. Please.
The fucking DP Association is going to send us weird.
Yeah, I want a DP glory hole.
I love the idea that, like, you've got a group of assassins that have a heart attack gun, and yet they use faked suicides. Like,
yeah,
you would just always use the heart attack gun.
Heart attack gun. You're just like, wait, was Anthony hanging himself and you shot him? This is a right. Was he in the process of not working himself? And he's like, oh shit, I'm having a heart attack.
This heart attack gun is like, it's the fucking idiot equivalent of like, I'm going to stab him with an icicle and the murder weapon will melt.
You know what I mean? It's a bunch of Illuminati guys running around with one hand in a cooler.
I know. I don't want to melt, guys. There's no murder weapon. Okay.
Oh my God.
All right. I'm going to shoot him with a potato gun. Then I'm going to eat the potato. Like,
it'll shoot out the side and it'll be mandolins into French fries. And then I'll
shoot it out of a potato gun.
Cage, you know what I mean? Like, it's basically.
Right. Yeah. That's you shoot it out of a potato gun into a mandolin gun. And then it's just like, sneaky, 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 sneaky. And they're just like shurikens of potato wedges.
And then what happens is it hits them in the face and they look like pinhead, except for they have French fries sticking out of their head.
He looks like. You just walk it up to some guy.
Stick it out of your face. You walk over and you just face plant in the ketchup. You're just like,
the detectives are like, it's the Bloomin' Onion murderer again.
It's just like, there's like a guy who's like his midsection and there's just all these curly kids like on the ground.
Goddamn,
curly fry guys. The detective leans down. Seasoned. Delicious.
The medical examiner shows up with some ranch, just like the assassin asks you how you want to go, regular or curly. You're like, fucking curly. Who picks regular? Picks
regular. Are you kidding me?
That's a question I want answered. Who fucking picks regular fries over curly fries
are available? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Like, what would have to be wrong?
I would say every single batch that you get of curly fries, though, there's always maybe a quarter of them that are just not cooked right.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're too densely packed. The curl did not release.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it's just like, oh, that's a potato still potato.
Those are Jerry curl fries. Like those aren't good.
Still a potato. Like, So I will say that the cooking process of the regular fry is superior to the curly fry.
Certainly
process.
More consistent.
But I will say that the curly fry itself in the, like with that, like seasoned and that breading or whatever is,
it's fucking far superior. Plus they're just more fun. They are a more fun food.
They
to
are
eat.
A more fun food.
I smile. It's like eating a silly straw.
It's eating a slinky.
Yeah. Right.
I like set them on the table and I make them go brr, brr, and they go right. It's awesome.
See, and I'm wondering, are there such a thing as heart attack guns?
Well, you're gonna have one. Look, yeah, this guy's been.
It's called shotgun and donuts. There's your heart attack gun. Yeah.
This is coming from a man whose fingers are fat.
It's your fucking HDL, dude. It's the kind of guy. It's the kind of guy who, when he cuts his finger, it sounds like one of those old timey oil cans. It's like,
because let me just say, remember Andrew Breitbart, who was going to bring out a video the next morning? He died that night of a massive heart attack.
He air quoted the words heart attack.
He did. He died of a heart attack, guys.
You know what old people almost never have naturally? Heart attacks.
Breitbart was actually relatively young. He was just in bad shape.
Like, was he?
Yeah.
He didn't look like it.
I thought Breitbart, when he died,
oh, you might be right.
Relatively young. Yeah, he was 43 when he died.
That's a hard Wait, yeah. What?
Yeah, he died aged 43.
That's a hard 43.
Yeah.
That guy did not age well.
He had a condition that basically thickened his heart. Breitbart had a condition. He had a condition that hardened his heart up. That's what he died of.
Pharaoh's disease.
Oh
he got it three times.
It's like, now you're plagues, whatever. This guy was a plague. What are we talking about?
Oh, my God.
Breitbart died of hardened heart disease. That's amazing. Oh, God.
That's great.
It's fucking amazing. There's no more poetic death than that guy's death.
What about all these scientists? And what about all these alternative medical doctors? And what about Larry Kudlow last night? Remember the G7 summit that just happened? Do you remember that after Trump left there, Justin Trudeau of Canada got up and made the statement and basically kind of went after the president of the United States after President Trump left? It's kind of a backstabbing, cheap shot. Now, I love
this. There's a cut in there. I don't know what happened. It just cut. Sorry.
Canadians. I mean, I'm getting ready to go to Canada. I ain't got nothing. I ain't got nothing. They're the most polite, the most nice people in the world. And I'm not even thinking that Justin Trudeau really meant it to in any kind of hateful way, because he's just not that kind of guy. But he is a global elitist. But anyway, that's another point.
As if Trump is not an elitist. Yeah, he's a billionaire reality TV show star from a fucking rich family.
I will use the quotes that he used earlier for Heart Attack. Billionaire.
Right.
I'll put those around.
Okay. Yeah.
But Larry Kudlow kind of went over the line, because then he went on television. Now, who's Larry Kudlow? He's a senior economic advisor to President Donald Trump. He went on national television and was so angry at Justin Trudeau. He went over the top, folks. He really did. And he said there was a special place in hell for Justin Trudeau. Well, that last night, he had a massive heart attack. Larry Kudlow, he's not dead. He has survived the heart attack.
He dodged just at the last second when they shot the gun at him.
Right.
He was like, his dog, his faithful beagle, jumped in there. And jumped. His like ears were
flapping
flowing, like,
in the way. Yeah.
Flapping.
Right?
In the, yeah.
He will recover. But I asked myself again, what about Anthony Bourdain? What about Kate Spade? Why did they end up hanging? Especially when I find
because they made fun of Justin Trudeau. That's why. Put the fucking dots together, man. Come to your senses, man.
It's not like Anthony Bourdain ever went to Canada to eat the food. What's he going to go up there and eat poutine?
He's choking down pine needles and fucking syrup. I will say, and you know, we hadn't talked about this on the show, but I really did enjoy Anthony Bourdain's work.
Yeah.
I've read his books. I watched his TV shows. He was always somebody who I thought was a really genuine person. Like, you know, like you at least saw what you thought was sort of what Anthony Bourdain was like. It felt like he didn't put on any kind of persona to be on television. He just sort of, it felt like he didn't really give a shit about what people really thought about him. And when he died, I was actually really shocked when he died, because I was kind of a big fan of his. Like,
sure.
I was for a very long time, I was a big fan of his.
Yeah.
So it was a real shock when he killed himself. But you know, that there's a, if you've never checked out any Anthony Bourdain's work, Kitchen Confidential is an excellent, excellent read.
We just re-listened to that book the other day. So I had heard it before. Haley had never heard it. We just listened to that on Audible again the other day. It's so good.
It's an excellent book. It's well-written. Medium Raw is very good too.
Yeah.
It's an excellent book. And his shows, if you've never seen his shows are excellent. They give you a really great glimpse into other cultures. You know, and he gets a chance to participate in a lot of cool stuff that most people, when they go to another country, don't get a chance to participate in. And the stuff that he does and the places that he eats and the, you know, the people that he sees, you know, he's dining at the most famous restaurant in the world, or the most prized seat in any restaurant in the world, you know, where he goes to like someplace in Spain that is, you know, one of the best restaurants in the world, and have a meal with the chef. And then in the next episode, he's in Mexico sitting on a bench somewhere on a side street, eating from a food cart, sitting next to people drinking beer. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it traverses all different kinds of classes and things. And it's very interesting to watch. So if you ever get a chance, there's two shows. I've never watched I think it's called A Cook's Journey or something. It's something that he mentions in his Kitchen Confidential. It was on the Food Network years ago. I never watched that one, but I watched No Reservations, and I watched Parts Unknown, and both of those series are excellent. They're basically the same show. They're just on two different networks.
Okay.
It's essentially the same show, but they're excellent. So if you ever have an opportunity to check them out, they're really great. It's great TV.
Find out they die right in the middle of a Bilderberg conference going on, the 66th annual Build-A-Bear.
A Build-A-Bear conference? That's a weird...
Bitburger conference?
What is this? A burger bro conference.
It's a Brick-A-Brack conference.
And there always seems to be high-profile deaths or sacrifices or something that goes on when these groups like Build-A-Bear or Bohemian Grove or others get together.
That's the problem is that these guys that have access to these heart attack guns, they don't care. They just shoot them everywhere randomly. They just walk into like celebrity apartments, just randomly shooting. Whoops.
Bang, I shot you with a heart attack gun. Go hang yourself before it takes effect. What? I don't know. It's confusing.
Like it's like the five-finger death punch.
Right?
Where you get to walk like a few feet away and right? then die.
You get three steps or whatever. Like, fuck, I'm just going to sit here then.
I'm never going to move. You'll have to airlift me places.
I'm going to need a catheter. You're going to want me to have a catheter.
You hire a guy that's just like your rickshaw driver for the rest of your life.
It just seems like it's demonic or something. And is it the New World Order? Is it the Illuminati? Are there Illuminati assassins?
He's just so concerned about this. But I like that he doesn't. You know what I do appreciate about Paul Begley?
Is that he's asking. He's just asking questions. Just,
hey, man. I don't know that there's Illuminati assassins with secret heart attack guns.
But I'm just asking questions.
Just want to know. Yeah. The people want to know.
So we got a lot of people to thank. We went missing a week a while back. So I want to thank all our patrons. But of course, we want to thank our newest patrons. Left at the Valley Podcast, George, Simon, Patrick B., Jude, fuck the Packers. I agree with that guy. Lee, Max, Samantha, Ben, Derek, S-M-N-X, Sminix, I don't know, Al, Madison, Brent, Bruce, Donald, Dave, the Crash Test Dummy, Sean, Maya, Bruce, Angie, and Tim. Thanks so much for your generous donations. We really do truly appreciate it. You guys are the reason Glory Hole Studios exists. So Holly sent in an image, and this is a Cogdis bingo card.
It's so good.
And it's great. So we're going to post it on this week's show notes. Check it out. DissonancePod.com, episode 420. This is a really cool little bingo card. Yeah. It's hilarious. I love that in the center is the free sex swing. But check it out. There's some really funny stuff on here.
Yeah, it's very good.
We got a message from Michael, and Michael says that, you know, we were discussing blasphemy laws. Just wanted us to know that there still is blasphemy laws in Canada. Section 296 of their criminal code. It hasn't been used in decades, but it's still on the books. Wow, that's interesting. Now, I don't know the veracity of that comment because I didn't bother to check out Section 293 of our criminal code. I don't read Beaver, but that's...
So I've heard. Maybe pay a little attention.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, we got a message from Jay, and Jay says that he'd been going through the back catalog. In episode 38, we did a story about a Moyle sucking a freshly circumcised baby dick. And he's wondering, if a grown man wanted to convert, will a Moyle suck his dick wound? I don't know.
Get in there, buddy. Yeah. Still bleeding. God. No, that's not blood.
He dipped it in this styptic right there. Just
right?
Oh, that's a stinger. I don't let you do that one anymore. We got a message from Amrit, and Amrit says that he wanted to let me know that the episode I was talking about on Star Trek The Next Generation was called Damrock and Jalad at Tanagara, I think is what it's called. And we're going to post a link to, I guess, the video of where they're inscrutably saying fucking metaphors at each other. I'll post it on this week's show notes, episode 420. We also got a message from Amrit who wanted to let us know that there's a Reddit called Trump Gretz. And I was talking about, there's a Reddit called Trump Criticizes Trump. And it's where they go back and they take his tweets and they look at his tweets and then they apply them to a policy or something he just recently did. And very often what it'll be is like, Obama's weak. He did this thing. And then like basically Trump did the exact same thing like this last week.
Immediately.
Yeah. So they take his tweets to criticize his own path as president. But the Trump Gretz is interesting because Trump Gretz basically is people who... supported Trump initially, and then they come back and they're like, fuck, what is he doing?
What happened here?
And there's a lot of people who have come back, and they get them from Twitter a lot, I don't know how true it is. You know, that's the tough part is you never know how true any of that stuff is, but you'll come back and you'll see somebody who's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. What the fuck was I thinking?
Well, you know, even some high profile people have done that too, where, you know, you've seen Ann Coulter talk about immigration or something like that and get really pissed. And there's a guy, Joe Walsh, who's a real shitty guy who doesn't pay his alimony. He also did that shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He'll come back and say, here's a great policy and he'll love Trump for it. And then sometimes he'll be like, oh my gosh, this is an awful, shitty, awful thing you've done. And I, you know, how could I have supported
you? At least he's evaluating the policy.
It does feel like he's doing that.
You know?
Yeah. It's not alimony. I want to take that back. It's child support. 117,000 in child support to his ex-wife and three children. So that's what they suspended his driver's license until he starts paying it. That was in 2011. They did that. I don't know how much in arrears he is today. if he is at all, I don't know. His kids might be grown.
I love that he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt of having like caught up. Yeah. It's just like he's either in arrears or time has just finished it out for him.
I have no idea.
One of those.
Whatever.
Yeah.
We got a message from Elvis, and Elvis gave us this great bumper that I'm going to put in the rotation.
I love it.
This never happened. It will shock you how much it never happened.
That's great. Thanks, Elvis. We got a message from Elizabeth, and Elizabeth wanted to let us know what Cyrus Trump meant. She says, in today's religious discourse, the name Cyrus is shorthand for a non-believer, especially in a leadership position, who is part of God's plan for tending to the needs of the believer community or otherwise furthering their agenda in some fashion. The funny thing is that Cyrus Trump comparison is basically an admission that Trump is so bad at Christianity that he hasn't fooled anyone into classifying him as one of their own. well, that's interesting. That clears it up. That clears up, you know, like, cause when they call him Cyrus, they're basically saying, look, he's a, you know, he's the, and I feel like, you know,
he's a tool of God. He is a tool.
He is a tool. Absolutely. Yeah.
He does juggle a lot of snakes too. That's for just sure. Saying.
If he pays you $130,000, you're going to juggle it too. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. We hopefully we'll have a guest on for one of the shows coming up. We're going to have to record a bunch of shows before I go on vacation because I'm going to go on vacation in the beginning of July. So we're going to have hopefully a couple of guests coming up and we should have a pretty fun show where we do a Dr. Oz thing. We have a Dr. Oz thing planned.
Yeah, it should be fun.
So there's a bunch of stuff that we're going to be planning for the next couple of weeks, but hopefully we'll have a guest next time. And that should be a lot of fun. But we're going to leave you like we always do with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo quasi alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy healing, water downward spiral, brain dead pan sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your signs. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only. All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.